Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rod Gontos.
Rod Gontos, where are you? Rod Gontos, calling for Rod Gontos. Oh, he's not here. He's out racing around somewhere here, I guess. This is Paul Roberts, the producer of the show. I'm going to kick things off here rather than wait for Rod. I feel like Rod is like that Where's Waldo or Where in the World is Carmen Santiago or what it is, things like that. Anyway, Rod is running late, so we're going to kick things off here today. We have with us some very special guests here, and that's why we don't want to keep them waiting. We have royalty here in the room here. Yes, it's a rare chance to have famous people who are wearing crowns today here. From the Miss America Scholarship Pageant, we have Patrick and his wife. Actually, she couldn't join us, but Patrick and is it Sharon? I'm looking at the notes here. I can barely read my handwriting. Patrick and Sharon Cordes, why don't you welcome to the show. You're the director of the pageant. Why don't you introduce your winners here today?
Well, the lovely young ladies we have with us today are Miss Anaheim, who is Cheyenne Kotick, and Miss Anaheim Hills, who is Victoria Johnson.
And for those of you that can't see, because this is radio or podcast here, wait till you see the pictures here, guys. You're going to want to see these pictures. Did you find the most beautiful women in Orange County, certainly in Anaheim and Anaheim Hills here.
They're talented and intelligent as well.
Wow. A triple threat here. And so why don't you take turns and introduce yourselves. We'll start with Miss Anaheim. Say hi to everybody here.
Hi, everyone. My name is Cheyenne Kotick, and I'm Miss Anaheim 2016.
Wow. See, she sounds like Miss Anaheim. She just jumps right into it there. No hesitation. Miss Anaheim Hills, do the same here.
Hi, everyone. My name is Victoria Johnson, and I'm Miss Anaheim Hills 2016.
Okay. She's got a softer voice. We'll have to get her closer to the microphone here. So tell me, each of you, what in the world is this all about? What made you join this thing? And then we'll talk about the pageant in greater detail. What made you try out for a title? This is a chance to go on and be Miss California and then perhaps Miss America. So what were you thinking? Had you ever been in a pageant before?
I actually got into the Miss America organization because I really wanted to start a scholarship fund for college. So, and I know that the Miss America organization is the leading scholarship for all women in the United States. So I discovered it and decided to try out last year as Miss Yorba Linda, and I actually won Miss Yorba Linda 2015 and came back because I loved it so much and took the title of Miss Anaheim 2016.
Now, did you have to move? Can you just participate in different cities here? I would think you can only be in wherever you live, right?
Yes, kind of. Each city has different limits. So Yorba Linda, I actually live in Yorba Linda, but Anaheim, I go to Cal State Fullerton. I'm a freshman there.
Oh, I see.
So each pageant picks a university that they can pick from the girls, so I happened to go there, and it all worked out.
And you're telling me last year there was somebody prettier than you and Yorba Linda and more talented and smart? I can't believe it. I can't believe it. There must have been. We need a recount there. All right, so Miss Anaheim Hills, tell me your story here. Why did you try out?
So I had actually done pageants before, but I did different systems. And so I decided after researching the Miss America system and seeing how amazing and intelligent these women were, and also the fact that it's a scholarship pageant, I decided to just jump right in and do it. It was my first Miss category that I competed in. And I want to become a lawyer, so I thought, you know, that scholarship money is definitely going to get me to that point in my education.
And I was shocked to learn that all the girls who participate get some sort of minimum stipend or scholarship here. Patrick, tell us more about this program and how it works.
Well, our Miss program is available to girls who are at least 17 years old and a senior in high school all the way on up to 24 years old. Okay. So that's, you know, and as we are a 501c3 public charity, and Every Miss contestant is guaranteed a minimum of a $200 scholarship.
Now, that can't be, is that the norm? Is that in every pageant or every local competition, or is that just yours?
A lot of competitions do that. There's local competitions. There's also open competitions that are open to people statewide. Mm. Okay, we are a local competition, and this year we generated just over $11,000 in scholarships.
Wow. And how do you generate this? Is it from fundraisers? Is it from donations from corporations? Where does the money come from?
All the above. It's, you know, we put together a program book, which, you know, you can take pictures of and show on your website and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But people that advertise in that, it's a great source for the community.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, we're a 501c3, so part of our funds came from direct donations from private individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is we put on our pageant, and this year we had 15 Miss representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And while you have two people here wearing crowns,
mm-hmm.
We did not crown any winners. We crowned two representatives because every girl that competes in our program is a winner because they get up on stage, they perform their talent,
right.
They talk, they answer questions on stage, and because they want to improve themselves, mm-hmm. and, you know, take
they
leads.
Get the experience of being on stage, they get public speaking, they get poise and confidence and all the things that go with these pageants here. So how long have you been doing this? And why did you start?
Well, my wife actually got us started on it because she was asked to attend a mock interview session.
Hmm.
And with our lives being so busy, you know, education, working, whatnot, I asked her one time, I said, can I go on over there and see what this interview stuff is all about?
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing else, we can talk on the way over and on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got hooked on it, and that was 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we've been interview coaches for the Miss Placentia, Miss Shore Belinda program, which two of the 4 years that we were working there, our teams took a top interview at the Miss California pageant in Fresno. And it's just to see the growth in these young ladies and to see how they go from being afraid to talk to being very confident.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the growth is amazing. I mean, you look at them and it's like, did you compete last year? You look familiar. I mean,
yeah.
They just changed so much. It's awesome.
I'm amazed that how confident they all look. To be on stage in front of people is an intimidating thing. To be on television if you get that high. And none of them look like they're going to pass out. Maybe they feel like they do. Do you guys just, does this just come naturally here? Is this just born in you? Or is this something that you learn to do?
I've definitely worked really hard at where I've come today. So, I mean, I guess you could say I wasn't born with it, but I worked really hard to get here.
And then, Miss Anaheim Hills, how did you feel about it?
I think the same thing. Pageants have really taught me how to have self-confidence. And, you know, when I look back as the kind of girl I was in high school, I was shy. I didn't really talk to anyone.
No, come on.
Yeah, I did. It's like I'm a completely different person because of the experience through pageants and building that self-confidence. So it's definitely been something I've developed over time.
All these guys are kicking themselves that they didn't talk to you back in high school here now. Now you're Miss Anaheim Hills. Well, look who joined us.
I don't know how these guys do it. Okay, I modeled one night yesterday, and I'm basically just dragging today.
I could tell.
Yeah. So anybody out there, don't ask a 51-year-old man to model for the first time.
No.
And then have them. And by the way, I want to introduce the gentleman that walked in with me,
uh-huh.
Steve Madrid,
uh-huh.
who is from Bespoke. Now, I was at the OC Fashion Week yesterday night,
yes.
And basically we were representing. I don't know whether it was. Was it smart? Steve, you can lean into Pulse.
Yeah,
was it smart for Dave Welsh to basically ask us all to basically represent the brand yesterday?
Well, without a doubt, I think that, you know, we were the only group that didn't have quote-unquote professional models.
Right. Oh, definitely we were not professional models.
Rod's not a professional model? I thought he was here.
Okay,
look, he dresses like
you. Go ahead. Use the word, Paul. What's the word?
He's Natalie dressed.
Well, no, he did a fantastic job. He knocked it out of the park, and all the guys looked great, and they did a fantastic job.
Yeah, I dragged the rear. I was the last person walking. But I mean, so seriously,
was this
it was
all
amazing.
Set up because of this? That's why you have the Miss America
and I apologize, we actually bumped them a couple of times on the show, and then finally we got them on here, and hi, Patrick, and ladies, nice to see you. But
this is Miss Anaheim, and this is Miss Anaheim Hills.
I recognize them. The crowns are not, you know, they're not throwing me, but there's a lot of bling in this room. Where's my glasses? But no, seriously, it was amazing. to get the chance to do that, I love Dave's stuff, right? And so I was kind of tongue-in-cheek. I think we really had a blast. But the fact that it was just a bunch of regular guys, and we got there at 3 o'clock, and it was, I thought it was government work because it was hurry up and wait. We got there at 3 o'clock, and we didn't get on until, what, about 8 o'clock? About 8 o'clock, right? So let's just suffice
and
say that
we walked the runway and everything?
Oh, yeah. Like, I was the last person walked the runway, right? It was like pretty much they closed the show with me, right? I think after that, it was everybody was just, we're going to go home. This is going really bad.
I hope you put an OC Talk Radio logo on your rear or something.
I told you we're going to Photoshop it in. I didn't want to break the line of the suit, the jacket. But no, it was, I don't know how you guys do it because I don't know if it's the same, but it was a lot of waiting. There was just a lot of waiting.
So let's have an answer, Miss Anaheim.
I mean, how do you guys? Is there a lot of waiting until you get it's your turn?
Hurry up and wait. How do you handle the? You're nervous, and then you're standing around forever here. How do you handle that?
So for me, when I used to do runway, and even during pageants, I would get so anxious I would do push-ups or crunches because I would have so much energy from the excitement. So I kind of would just entertain myself until I got on stage.
Yeah, don't look at me, Steve. I'm not doing push-ups.
All right, okay. Miss Anaheim, how do you handle the pressure of? Because I would think that would be hard. It'd be like an athlete training to go on, and then you're just standing on the sidelines waiting for something to happen here.
I've never modeled runway or anything like that, but doing pageants, I think it goes so fast that I don't really feel myself, like, I'm super energized, but I don't need to, like, wait, because it goes in a blink of an eye, and it's just, like, over before the night ends, so I just think it goes really fast.
Which was really true, because, you know, here we are waiting since 3 o'clock, and let me just say that we put it to some good use, so, like, between 3 and 5:30, we were pretty much at the bar, right?
My man.
Bunch of guys bonding, right?
Don't tell these girls to
No. We were just drinking water at the bar, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, you're in Pelican Hills, right, at the resort. Just plug the resort, right?
You the free parking.
We're sitting there. I'm gonna send them the reimbursement. But we're sitting there. And it's beautiful. And we're just hanging. And it was the guys. Some of them knew each other, maybe in person. Some of them didn't. But it was really kind of cool to get that to happen. But we're sitting there. And I mean, you're sure there's nervous energy, right?
Yeah.
And then it's just like. And then at the end of the day, when we got on there at about 8 o'clock, it was like a blink of an eye. It was just over. And in fact, it was like, wait, guys. Should I just say, okay, we walked so fast we couldn't even get out more clothes because there's a couple of guys that ran in for a second change, and the rest of us walked so fast through the circuit that they didn't even have a chance. You know, they're like trying to hop in one shoe and trying to put in. So anyway, it was cool.
So today
it was really
is
cool.
Fashion. You were in fashion. You were Has this has it gone through its ups and downs, Patrick? Because I know for a while it was criticized. Pageants were criticized in the beginning. They were very popular. Then they went through kind of a period.
Bad press.
Bad press and whatnot. And then some people got taken. Their crowns got taken away because of I think of Vanessa Williams. She had some nude photos or whatever it was. And so it seemed like it was tarnished a little bit. Now it seems to be more back in fashion and vogue here.
The thing that's really happened is the fact that they realize the importance of scholarships and that teaching these young ladies class and poise.
Yeah.
And one of the things, as I had said earlier, we're a 501c3 and we don't charge the girls an entry fee, unlike many pageants.
Yeah, right.
So it's really open to the whole socioeconomic spectrum. And once you get these girls out there and they find out that, wow, I can do this, the changes in them is it's just phenomenal.
Well, I'm impressed when you were here. We asked them why they got into this, and both of them said scholarships. They really it almost sounded like you kind of Googled it and looked up, said, where can I get scholarships and what could I do, and this was a viable alternative. So I mean, it seems to be empowering in that sense. Mm-hmm. It's not. For some, I don't want to get too political or whatever, but it seemed to be objectifying women. You know, it's just if you're just pretty, you get something, and if you're not pretty, you don't get a prize. But it's more than that. It's about teaching them to be confident and poised and to do public speaking and whatnot.
The Miss, for example, have to go through a 10-minute interview with a panel of 6 or 7 judges, okay? Mm-hmm. And the last 30 seconds is a closing. Mm-hmm. Now, in that 10 minutes, they can virtually be asked about anything. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, nothing is off the table. So it can be politically charged, or it can be what's your favorite color.
You know, I've had the opportunity to see this actually pretty close to home. My brother-in-law's niece, Rita Garabet. Do you guys know?
Yes,
Rita.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So Rita Garabet is my, and she's going to be emceeing the Arab American Civic Council's Heritage Conference. gala mm-hmm. next month mm-hmm. for me in Laguna Hills. But I've seen that. I mean, you know, the bad press, I understand, but it's, you know, it's actually phenomenal infrastructure for these young ladies to basically go through, mm-hmm. and it does build a lot of confidence, does build a lot of, you know, real life
poise,
kind of
public
poise,
speaking,
how yeah. do you deal with things, you know, stuff that you don't usually get an opportunity to deal with. Mm-hmm. So it's actually pretty amazing. Let me ask you, Patrick, one thing relevant to how you make it happen, right? How, I mean, you guys are a nonprofit, right?
Correct.
I've been on enough boards of nonprofits
yes.
to know that, you know, there's always that financial aspect that
oh,
you're trying
yeah.
to make it happen, sponsorships, things of that nature. So you've been doing this long enough. How is that? Is there a lot of sort of support for it? Who does it usually come from? Is it particular?
We talked
pockets?
A little bit about it. You said yeah. they do private donations, they do corporate stuff.
But I mean, with corporate, is it? I mean, yeah, I'm looking at
the program book is a fair source of information, is a fair source of income for us. Also,
okay.
the fact that we have our pageant, the yeah. Miss Pageant, we had 15 girls this year,
yeah.
15
mm-hmm.
young ladies, all very talented. So you got to go to see a fantastic show,
mm-hmm.
and the charge was $25, and that included the cost of the program book.
Where was this held at?
This was held at Orange Lutheran High School in Orange.
Okay.
And that generated probably about $8,000 for us by the time we were all said and done, because we had about 550 people that attended that mm-hmm. were paid contestants. And we also had a teen pageant in the afternoon that was, we only had 8 contestants there, mm-hmm. but that program was growing, and we're getting out to the high schools in Anaheim,
mm-hmm.
and It's a process.
You know what I like about this, and Anaheim is an interesting town. It's actually pretty great what's happening. I mean, we've talked about everything from including that recent redistricting thing that went for as far as mm-hmm. the elections,
mm-hmm.
and I happen to know Mayor Tate. So, you know, I'm looking at this, and you got, you know, support from the Anaheim Firefighters Association. You know, you got Anaheim Police supporting this. You've mm-hmm. got fitness and wellness kind of supporting it, and as well as, you know,
it's a pretty good cross section of community.
It's yeah. a really pretty good cross section of community, which says a lot to the credibility that you guys
so
have.
So, do people root for it? Is it like your hometown teen? Now we're going to go watch them compete up in the Miss California, and
do they get rowdy when they do that?
Let's take a busload of people up to go up support Miss Anaheim and Anaheim Hills here. And
this is our second year back. Okay, Miss Anaheim had actually been gone for 7 years. Okay?
Oh, okay.
And the last time a Miss California went on to become Miss America was in 1983, mm-hmm. and that was Miss Anaheim 1982.
There you go,
Deborah Sue Moffitt. Okay.
Oh, Deborah Sue Moffitt. I didn't yes. know she was from here.
Yeah, well, she was actually from Texas, but she really relocated to Anaheim, and she was Miss Anaheim 1982.
I actually knew Deborah Sue Moffitt back in my entertainment days. I met her a numerous
times. Do I need to have these young ladies close their ears again?
she was something. Anyway, but I didn't know that. And the other thing you're telling me is that the current Miss California is from Orange County.
Yes.
She's
actually from Garden Grove, Bree Morris.
Yes. Okay. So we're in the running here. This isn't like an area where that hasn't
been. And I apologize if you guys have covered this, but what was the reason why it was gone for 7 years?
We didn't talk about that.
Well, bottom line is it's a labor of love,
uh-huh.
and it's for a labor of love, you need money.
Yeah.
And so while we've just gotten it started, the first year, we took a fair amount, my wife and I took a fair amount of money out of our pockets, and now the community has reached out, and this year we probably cut our deficit in half, and mm-hmm. hopefully next year it'll be self-sufficient.
Well, and that's kind of why I was leading with that question earlier, Patrick, is I want people to realize that when it comes to stuff like this, and we talk about this on the show all
yeah.
the time, that it really comes down to people having a passion for something and to really be willing to put themselves out there to accomplish it.
Always.
A lot of people see the after effect, the result, the show, the glitz, the cameras are on,
mm-hmm.
the lights are on, but they don't see all the effort that goes into it. And I think it's really
big
important
time.
To point out that to people. I mean, you know, yesterday, Steve, you know, how many people are involved to get, you know, 8 guys
well,
or 9 guys
yeah.
basically walk? It's just phenomenal, the infrastructure that is needed to pull these things off. And I don't think a lot of people understand or appreciate that, especially in this day and age where everything seems to be like, you know, move that bus in 20 minutes, we redid a house
yeah,
kind of
right,
thing, right?
Right.
I appreciate you basically sharing that, because kudos to you, you know, putting yourself out there financially and saying this is what I believe in and actually pursuing it.
How many, there are 34 or 35 cities in Orange County here, how many of them have Miss pageants, as you call them here?
Tustin, Garden Grove, Placentia.
Garden Grove Yorba seems to have produced a lot. We're talking about Michelle Pfeiffer was Miss Garden Grove back in the day, and you're saying that the last Miss America from California was Miss Garden Grove, and or somewhere.
Our current Miss California is
from Garden Grove, rather. Garden Grove. So, okay, so I cut you off. How many, just roughly, give me a number, you think? Half of them, a third of them?
Well, we probably got, I'm going to say, I think there's eight cities in Orange County that actually have pageants. That's close, also eight or nine.
Well, and a lot of places used to have it, because I remember even like there's old photographs in San Clemente of, you know, Miss San Clemente. So there's a lot of places that used to have it, but a lot of them probably for the financial and the infrastructure needed to pull it off correctly, basically dropped that.
We have a caller here, somebody who wants to pipe in and join us.
Well, let me get the mic.
We have a caller.
We have a caller here. So identify yourself, caller, and ask your question.
Hello, my name is Tiffany Peterson, and I'm calling from San Diego. Hi, Victoria.
Hi.
Hi there. I understand that you were awarded some scholarship money. I was wondering what your plans are for using the money, what you plan to do with it, and possibly what you would like to become in the future.
She went to Vegas with it. That's what she did. She tried to double it overnight here.
Already?
So.
Didn't take very long.
All right, well, thanks. So you want to know what she did with it and what her plans for the future.
Thanks for calling in.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Okay, I have one other.
Sure.
All right, so we'll answer that one, and then we'll get
Victoria.
We'll
you want to answer that?
Yeah. So I have education's a huge part of my life, and it's something I really want to exceed in. And so I want to pursue my English degree. So with the money that I got from winning Miss Anaheim Hills, I want to pay for my English degree, and then I want to move on to UCI and get my degree in law.
Love
I want
it.
To be a lawyer.
Love it.
Awesome.
That sounds like a great career path. Wonderful. I was also wondering, what are some of the other things that you have gained from being a title holder within the Miss America organization?
Great question. Yeah.
I've gained a lot of confidence. Like I said earlier, this was my first Miss pageant, and the fact that the judges saw me as an asset to the city and an asset to the organization was something that really touched my heart. And I have so many plans to really get into the city and to make a difference, and it's grown me so much as a person. I've become so humble, and I've gotten to know so many different people because of this, so I could not be more thankful for this opportunity.
How does it make you humble? You think it would make you anything but humble? Look at me. I'm Miss Anaheim Hills here.
Hold on. I was looking at you, Paula. I wasn't sure where you were.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You would think that would make you less than humble. Like, hey, I'm pretty hot stuff here or something.
Well, as a title holder, it's not your job to... It's not about you. The whole idea with the Miss America system is it's about other people.
Mm-hmm.
When you take on that title, you want to help others. It's serving your community. It's serving the people around you. And so it should be a humbling experience. I think that's the whole idea of pageants, is to be a servant to others around you and to show your love and compassion.
That's wonderful. To shine and share the light here. All right, did we answer your questions?
You did. I have a 13-year-old, and she just sounds like a wonderful role model. And I hope one day they can meet, and also look forward to following you and your year this year, Victoria. Best of luck, and thank you for spending the time answering my questions.
Would you encourage your 13-year-old to participate in a pageant? How do you feel about that?
Funny you say, she's actually a princess within the Miss California organization.
There you go. Okay.
So under the Miss America system, but now that she's 13, she has the option of, you know, competing or not competing. I don't think she's quite ready quite yet, but girls like Victoria are very inspiring.
And while you're on the line, let me ask the tough question. I don't want to get into the dark, ugly stuff here or something. I'm sure there's backfighting and other things that go on in anything organization, but how do you handle loss? How do you handle there's some girl that really wanted to win, I'm sure, the title, and she didn't walk away here. How do you handle that?
Yeah.
How do you teach that?
So,
how do you deal with that?
Yeah. Ladies,
is that question directed toward myself?
No, I think
everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
We'll start with the caller here. I mean, so you're going to teach her to compete. That also means there's a chance you'll lose. And that's not something...
As a parent, how do you prepare somebody for that?
Right.
You know, that's funny you do mention that. She isn't quite the competitive type, and that's the reason, you know, even though she is eligible now at the tender age of 13, the choice is hers. I would never put the pressure on her to force her into something that she's not comfortable with. I think the Princess program is wonderful in that it is a non-competitive program, and that's why she's enjoyed that. And as far as the competing aspect, that is completely her decision and up to her. And only girls like Victoria and all the other wonderful Miss America title holders are there just to inspire her and give her the confidence until she is ready to jump in and start competing.
Okay. All right.
That's being a great parent right there.
There you go.
Thank
you. We're
going
to cut you off here. Thanks so much for calling in.
No problem. Thank you for the time, and talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
What do you think, girls? How do you – what if you hadn't won? Would you be – there must have been girls, I'm sure, that come to these things, maybe not in your competition. Maybe everybody's got the right attitude, but there must be some that just get devastated. They really want this, and they don't get it. And like any competition, it's hard to – when you, as a parent, you put yourself out there, or you put your kids out there, you want them to win, but at the same time, you have to realize they might lose. So how do you prepare for all that? You guys didn't lose, so you got nothing to say here. That was easy. I just came and showed up. But let's say you don't win the next round or whatever.
Now, what have you seen? Like, how do people deal with that? How do you guys deal with that?
How are you preparing for it? Who knows how high you'll go in this thing? Maybe you'll be Miss America. Maybe you'll be Miss California. Maybe this is where it ends. But how do you handle that? How do you prepare for that?
I mean, the first pageant I competed in, I was, I think, 17, and I didn't win my first pageant. I was courted as fourth runner-up, which was an honor, of course, and I got scholarship money and was able to go around town with the girls who did win and do community service with them. So I found it so incredible to be a part of that program and decided to come back. So even though I didn't win, I took home so much more than I would have.
You didn't go home mad, say, I'm not going to do this anymore. Yeah.
Not at all. No, I wanted to go back right away and help the community and just be a part of it as much as I could.
Okay. Miss Anaheim Hills here. How do you handle rejection, or how do you handle the possibility of losing? Everybody wants to win, but there's a flip side to that.
Yeah. So I've competed in pageants for about 5 years now. And so I have not won every pageant I've competed in. I've been second runner-up. I sometimes didn't even place. And for me, it was just like, it was a challenge. Like, I want to go be the best person I can be. And it made me want to improve on myself. And it made me want to grow as a person. Because when the judges are looking for a title holder, they're looking for someone that's going to serve the best to the community and be the most helpful to the community and the people around them. And so I wanted to be that person. So I just kept going back and trying. I remember the day before the pageant, I was actually talking to Patrick when I was walking in. And I said, you know, Patrick, even if I don't win, I'm coming back next year. Like, I love this organization.
That's determination, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's been so nice. This organization, compared to so many I've done, this one is one of the closest to my heart.
All right, we got to take a break and pay the bills here. But that's the attitude you hope you have. Win or lose, it's a valuable experience, and you learn from it.
Life lesson.
And you come back and learn to fight again.
We're going to do something a little different, Paul, for the break,
okay,
if you don't mind. I've got Steve here, we're going to do a live
commercial,
PA, whatever you want to call it, commercial, because I've mentioned it before, but Dave Welsh, Bespoke, that's B.SPOKE, and it's BespokeStyle.com. Mm-hmm. They're a sponsor of the show, and since I've got Steve here, I'm going to let the man speak.
And does everybody know, because you're a worldly person, Bespoke is usually in Europe a name
interesting.
Not many actually know that. I didn't know that a couple of years ago. Yep. I saw it somewhere, and I thought, Bespoke, what is that?
Yeah, B-E-S-P-O-K-E is Bespoke. It's Old English, and it actually means something that is ordered in advance, or things that are
custom,
bespoken
yeah.
for before. Mm-hmm. And it somehow, you know, one of these things that happens across the Atlantic, spa industry, all the aqua aqua stuff goes out of it. We have no hydrotherapy when it comes across the Atlantic. Bespoke came across the Atlantic, and it became custom. And we refer to things as being custom. But it has had a revival as a word in usage. So with that, I give you Mr. Steve Madrid.
All right. Well, let's lead over to the mic here. We're short of mics here today.
So tell everybody about the company. And
well, Bespoke's located in Costa Mesa. We're at 3151 Airway Avenue.
I love it when we put them to the test, and they can't remember their own addresses here. You know, it happens all the time. All right.
So, we've been there a little over a year. Everything we do is 100% custom. We create the patterns based on the slopes of your shoulder and your posture and what have you. And it's really something that you can create a unique piece that only you own. And we like to tell people, you know, imagine if you went to your favorite store and you walked in and everything in that store was in your size and fit you perfectly. That's essentially what you have when you visit Bespoke. And so we're proud to have guys like Rod here, who we fit up the other day, and lots of local businessmen throughout the community. But I would encourage everybody to check out our website, our Instagram page at Bespoke Style. We get a lot of feedback from there, mm-hmm. and a lot of transactions from people seeing photographs. So,
and if you go jump on it today, there's a whole bunch of behind the scenes photos from yesterday night. So, you know, be kind though.
You know, and you say something very important, because I grew up. I'm six. People can't see, but I'm 6'4", and I've always been kind of tall. And
he's
and
a giant in the
I'm
industry.
A giant of a man, and I have. I'm sorry to say, I have the opposite of what Donald Trump has. I do have big hands. I do have all these things. I'm sorry to bring that up. But my arms are 37 inches long, so I can't get a shirt. I can't get jackets. I can't get anything. That's why I dress like a bum most of the time here, because that's all I can do. And you said something right there, to walk in and have everything in your... Nothing is in my size when I walk into a store. Nothing. I take whatever is in my size and wear it, because that's I have no choice.
So. I will tell you, there are great folks over there at Bespoke, and every single one of them is just really, really cool to work with. And they really care, and it's not about what their look is. It's about fitting the people to the clothes, and they have a lot of details in the way that, you know, and a lot of pride in craftsmanship and how they basically put together the threads.
So it must be super expensive, though, right?
It's worth every penny.
Compared to what? Though?
Compared to what?
And
exactly.
It's true. Compared
to the
garments right.
that I'm wearing, yeah.
Yeah. So I appreciate right. you being here, Steve. Thank you so much.
Thanks for and, coming on board and supporting the show here.
Yeah,
and
thanks.
And you brought me a sandwich. Can you come back tomorrow, too?
If anybody wants to come in and get on Paul's good side,
bring food.
It's Jersey Mike's, number 13.
Number 13, that's the one. But it's funny you say that, because this morning we had on the City Square, and it's always a very serious public policy show, and the guest brought baked bread. And I thought, wow, you can come back anytime you want. And now sandwiches and baked bread. This is like my heavenly day. I'm in heaven.
There you go. Things are looking up for you.
I've got stars. I've got angels. I've got all the stuff here. Everybody's around.
This show is just getting going places, right? So I appreciate it, Steve. Thank you so much. I'll see you soon, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So back to the show here, Miss America's. Did you know that you're a show, the actual show producer here? I called myself the producer. I'm really
yes,
like the
I do. Go ahead.
Do you know that she was in the Miss America pageant?
Actually, I did know that.
All right. Well, let's let her speak up and say.
Yeah. What is? What,
identify yourself and tell us about your experience here.
Which Deborah has been on this show before.
Yes.
Yeah. She helps us. Actually,
I just want to remind
her a lot of
Deborah.
Our
Hi, Deborah.
Great guests.
Hello, Deborah's in the house.
Oh, look at that. That's the Miss America training right there. She didn't hesitate, jumped right in. Deborah's in the house. Woo, woo.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm really excited to have these guests today with the Miss California, Miss America family. I have been a part of the family since I was 17 years old, so a volunteer in many different, wearing many
couple
different
years ago.
Hats.
Yeah. Not
for over 35 years. I just had my 35-year anniversary with the family.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you call it? So are you all part of a family
we
now?
Are.
Is that the way
we
you
definitely
refer
are.
To it? And you'll be in this family forever?
We are. We
you're
are
90
all
and you're
volunteer, longest running, nonprofit, largest scholarship program in the world for women.
Wow.
And a lot of people don't know that. And I will tell you, with the multiple hats and the different areas that I've worked in, all the way up to judging the Miss Anaheim program a couple of weeks ago when these girls placed and won their titles, it set the foundation for me both in business and professional career, a platform to be a outspoken professional and represent the company that I work with, the organizations that I work with, and be the community servant that I am today.
I've known Deborah for a long time, okay? Every single word she's saying about that, you can see.
Well, you started following her as a fan when she was Miss. She ran in the Miss America pageant.
I don't stalk people like you do.
Where were you? Where did you compete and what happened?
My city that I represented was Miss Fresno.
Oh, so you were in, not just in, you won the, you were a Miss Fresno?
I was a participant, actually. So I can tell you about the losing.
Yeah, well, sure. What was that like at 17? It's not easy to get up there and...
The great thing about this program is I never felt like a loser. Mm. They always made me feel like just the fact that you stepped up and applied yourself, you are a winner. Mm-hmm. So give yourself that credit. And that credibility and that empowerment stayed with me throughout my college years,
my 30s, my 40s. So it didn't make you feel bad, like I don't ever want to talk about this again. It was a horrible experience. Instead, you're still talking about it. You're still participating, even though you didn't win.
Right, because I joined the staff. I joined committees. I kept volunteering. Mm-hmm. I embraced the importance of being a community
You know what's cool? What's cool about this, right, is mm-hmm. we talk about it all the time, that you have to have a pursuit of passion. That yes. if you actually do that in throughout your life, whatever it is that's gearing to, it doesn't mean that you have to follow it for, you know, 50 years, but mm-hmm. that whatever it is that you're doing, if you're doing it with a passion, if it's a job, it's not doesn't feel like work most of the time.
Right.
If it's something that you're doing that is giving back, that's paying it forward, those are all things that satisfy our makeup, our DNA, I think, as human beings, in a manner that things that we don't do with passion will never do.
Mm-hmm.
And so here it is. I mean, you're hearing somebody who basically has been on both sides of this, and there's the lessons that were learned along the way and how it has served them well, and they're still passionately involved in giving back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this woman lives this. I mean, I know her long enough to know that this is very much part of her DNA.
Oh, yeah. Every time she comes on, she's got some of the group she's working with or volunteering for
right.
or helping or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, all right, that's good to know. So it isn't dog-eat-dog. It isn't I'm trying to beat you, ha-ha, I'm better than you are, and everybody else goes home broken and crying.
No,
and
it's all about being your best self and representing that and walking tall. I've never walked, you know, through this program and the family mentorship, I've never walked taller being my, you know, at my 5'3 stature, but I've always felt like it made me feel taller, stronger, bigger, better every year with the relationships and with watching, you know, the girls grow and being just a small part of whatever I could do to help mentor them and help build and empower them as women. These are some of the most intelligent women in the world, I'll have you know. They all have...
Pretty sharp today here, yeah.
Yeah.
How old are you girls? Am I allowed to ask how old you are? I know women at certain age don't want to be asked their age anymore here, but how old are you guys?
I'm 19.
19? Oh, my goodness.
And I'm 18.
I would not have pegged you at that. I would have pegged you in your 20s, both of you here.
For sure.
Because
yeah.
of poise and...
Well, there's a certain maturity,
yeah.
I think, that even comes across in there, yeah. In fact, it's kind of funny, right? Because you don't have the visual, and these ladies are stunning, but you don't have the visual, so you're hearing it.
Yeah.
And what's coming across is absolutely a lot more seasoned, a lot more mature.
Yeah, I hear that. Oh, yeah, wow, great, okay, cool, like, you know, whatever, you know. I hear a lot of
now,
that.
No, that's just you in the corner.
Yeah, that was me, the valley boy here.
Right.
Gives you hope, doesn't it?
It does give you hope, because we tend to think of every generation behind us as, oh, my God, are they screwed up here? I don't know what they're doing here. So let me ask you another question here that always, maybe I'm not supposed to ask you kind of question, but isn't there a look? Seems like there's, and it seems like the look has changed over the years. It used to be the Miss America look was kind of the classic tall, blonde, whatever look to it or something here, and now we seem to have much more diversity in contestants and winners too across the board. All the beauty pageants. That's just my observation. Is that true?
That's something that you can say about America in general,
right?
You know, and you know, you see the junk on TV where everybody's finger pointing, but truth be known, America is far more advanced than it was 50 years ago.
Yeah, right.
And this is a prime example of it. And having judged, when you've got 15, 20 beautiful, talented, intelligent young women parading, whether it's an evening gown or doing their talent or whatever, you can't remember what one looks like and what the other one doesn't, and you've got a worksheet that you mm-hmm. work from, and you write down your score, and you know it's a difficult job.
Because even Deborah said off camera, when you competed, you're 5'3", and that was a disadvantage. Most of the women were, this is the era, we were talking about some of the women who had won the pageant, Susan Anton. So these are tall, long-legged women. That's kind of the Miss America. That's the kind of the modeling image I have.
Well, like you said, I wouldn't say it was a disadvantage. I would say that was kind of, you know, throughout the years or throughout the decades, there's been kind of some, you know, a more popular look, and mm-hmm. that was the look during that time mm-hmm. with Cheryl Teagues and Susan Anton.
Oh, yeah.
And Christie Brinkley, all being tall blondes. But I found throughout the years in growing with the program for over 35 years that they're women of all sizes, all colors.
Well, all ethnicities, all races,
nationalities.
All sizes, shapes, everything. It isn't just it doesn't seem to be so stereotypical.
No, and I think
not at all.
To Patrick's point, it's a reflection of what America is today. I mean,
yeah.
I think there's a lot more diversity. I think there's a lot more... you know, mixed families. There's a lot of different structures.
A lot of more images of beauty.
There isn't this homogeneous. Yeah, and there's a lot of images of beauty. And I think there's a lot of... the parameters are a lot wider.
Mm-hmm.
They're not so narrow. Now, having said that, though, it's kind of interesting because I think with the pageant, there's probably even more of that truth being reflected. In the case of modeling, unless it's specifically aligned, geared towards certain people, I think there is still, and it's actually kind of the inside joke yesterday was, is that, you know, we were the last group after two designers that were, I think maybe there was two designed for us and one after us. They're all women. Clothing, right? We're the only, like, guy. Actually, he was the only guy exhibiting at LC Fashion Week, if you believe that. That's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
But we get no respect as guys, right? But
which is going to lead to my last question.
But the women that were modeling, they were all 6 foot plus, for sure.
Wow.
Right? And the interesting thing is, we were these, you know, regular Joes. We looked like we just rolled out of a bar, like we're well dressed, you know, very natty bar. But we had guys that were like in the 5 foot range, you know, five far, and then people that were taller, and it was an interesting duality to watch. Mm-hmm. So I think when it comes to the pageant, because the emphasis is, yes, you have the beauty component, but you also have the poise, you also have the seasoning, you also have all that aspect of the whole roundedness of the person.
Well, actually, okay? These women represent women who are educated, and they, when they put on that crown,
yeah,
and they represent their city, they're representing all educated women of the world.
Yeah, but my point is that is a platform upon which a more true, wider range, not narrowed a focus, can take place.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at is, I wonder if girls are out there right now listening to this show or reading about these pageants, and they say, you know, I don't fit that image. They have the same Barbie doll image of what a
beauty pageant
looks
like. Isn't that really the label? Because you and I just used the word beauty pageant, and I remember, looking at
that's the way I viewed it when I was younger, so I guess I'm showing my own prejudice. You could tell
and yet,
a beauty contestant
and yet it's a Miss Anaheim pageant. The word beauty doesn't necessarily, is it
that's
getting less
point.
And less emphasized, Patrick?
Have you taken a look at some of the pictures in People magazine of stars before and after?
You mean who wore it better?
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, not just who wore it
Paul, some
of these girls without
makeup. No, absolutely. Hands down.
And it's like, you know, with, you know, they're all, they can all be beautiful. And when a girl walks mm-hmm. into the room, and if she commands the room because she's smiling and just
very
shoulders back and ready to take
very
on the room,
right.
I don't care whether she's 5'2 and 200 pounds
exactly.
or if she's 6'3 and 150.
You're standing to one right next to you. Or you're sitting to one right next to you,
yes.
Okay? This woman walks into the room, there is no doubt who's in charge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen her do it, right?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And so I just wonder if, don't put yourself in a box. Don't say, I can't compete because I'm not 6 foot tall, blonde.
Well, in everything in life, if you argue for your own limitations, guess what? You're self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, like I said, to be asked at the age of 51 to model in front of five rows of people
God
that you
knows
don't know,
what
right?
Thinking.
I'm like, this is hilarious, and I could have talked myself out of it a million times, right?
Yeah.
So I will urge people, and again, it's sort of a pursuit of passion, okay? Passion for living, call it that, even at the basic, most basic of it, right? If you have opportunities to do things, as long as nobody else is getting hurt in the process, nobody whatever, pursue your passions. How the heck do you even know unless
yes.
you try?
How do you know unless you try? Good words of advice. All right, final takeaways. We'll start with Miss Anaheim Hills here. What do you want girls to know about this?
Yeah, what do you guys want the girls to know about it, or what are your future plans, whatever you'd like to share as we close out?
Good. Last thoughts.
Well, first I want to thank the caller who called in and spoke to me. It means a lot that your daughter is looking up to me, and I'm really happy to hear that you guys think I'm an amazing role model. That touched my heart, and it made my entire day today to know that I am touching people's lives. That's the whole reason I want to do this, is to be a good role model to younger women. So thank you so much for calling in and speaking to me. Also, I just want people to know to really don't let anything stop you from doing what you love. Don't let what people think about you stop you either. I was bullied a lot in high school and a lot, you know, in my workplace, and I've never let negative comments stop me. And I just want to encourage people to keep going and to just love yourself at the end of the day, because if you love yourself, then that's all that matters.
Right. Sounds cliche-ish, but it's very, very true.
I think you should go back to those bullies and just show them you wearing the crown now here and say, okay, who won, buddy? Yeah, that's an amazing story, really. Okay, all right, and Miss Anaheim here.
I just like to touch on the topic of women who don't feel like they're pretty enough to do this competition.
Right.
It has nothing to do with how you look on the outside. It has so much to do with who you are on the inside.
Yeah.
And beauty and brains and art and whatever your talent is and whatever you're passionate about, you can perform on stage, and you're just taking a shot in the dark, and you never know where that might take you. Like, I did my pageant and I won, and I had no idea, like, that was even in my future, but you never know where your future will take you, and it all starts when you take that jump out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, don't ever, I mean, I've said this before, and I say it for my own benefit as well a lot to remind myself, but, you know, don't ever rob yourself of the uniqueness of your own story, honestly.
Yes.
A lot of people do that for a multitude of reasons, and at the end of the day, it really comes down to you saying, no, I'm going to do this, or, you know, saying yes to yourself, basically.
I'm going
to
echo Deborah's words, and then I'll let Patrick have the last word here. The only time you're a loser is if you don't try. There you go. Patrick.
That's a true statement. My grandfather said that to me countless times.
Yeah.
Okay. The thing I want to express is if you go to www.misscalifornia.org, you can find out which pageant's next to you, which pageant you can compete with. There's all that information on there. My wife and I have been doing this for about 10 years now. We don't have any children of our own, but every year we get a new herd of daughters, and that's the... That's the ideal behind the executive directors that are out there. And just there's help. Let us help you become the best version of yourself possible.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much.
And Patrick, would you also give your own organization's website, too, please?
It's MissAnaheimPageant.org.
MissAnaheimPageant.org.
Thank you, everybody.
And that's for both the cities, Anaheim and Anaheim Hills.
Correct.
Right? And okay.
You don't need to live in Anaheim to be Miss Anaheim. Mm-hmm. No. You can actually live in Anaheim and be Miss Anaheim Hills. The jobs are all the same. It's
right.
About community service.
Right.
Thank you all for being here today. It's
Thank
really
you.
Nice
Thank
of you.
Thank you.
And good luck,
ladies. I've never met anybody that was in a Miss America pageant at any level. So, I guess I walked away with a change. I didn't know Deborah. I never knew Deborah was in the organization.
I walked away
a changed person today.
I told you, Paul, this show's going to open a lot of doors for you.
It did. It really did. It did. Okay. All right. Thanks so much for listening. As always, you tuned to Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.
With response rates as high as 100% and ROI in the tens of thousands of percent or more, contact marketing is an amazing tool for any enterprise, large or small. Contact marketing is a fusion of marketing and sales that directly targets those critical connections that can change the scale of your business almost overnight. If you're ready to transform the scale of your business, visit contactmarketing.agency on the web. That's contactmarketing.agency.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only octalkradio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.